Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen and I'm pleased to be joined this evening by Sherry, who is a longtime part of the Sangha and the founder of Simply Celebrate, whose ad we hear every night, actually, on the every Tuesday on the radio show. And she's here to talk tonight about a new project that she's undertaking that has very related to practice. And she wanted to tell us about it and possibly get some participation and help with it. So welcome, Sherry.
Hi, Jen. Happy to be here.
Great. So I thought we might start by just having you talk a little bit about Simply Celebrate, kind of how that got started and what that is.
Sure. Well, Simply Celebrate has really grown out of the practice and my relationship to the practice. It's my own practice of bringing more joy and color and vitality into life, which you can only imagine how that has come right from our practice. And so, out of my own sort of moment-to-moment practice, because I actually have a history of depression and anxiety, and so really it is a moment-to-moment practice of being able to turn my attention to joy, to color, to life, to things that connect me. And from that, I've sort of developed some different products and coaching, ebooks, and gift books that I sell under the Simply Celebrate name.
Yeah, not to get us off track, but I remember we had an interview with you last year, sometime around this time, I think it was, maybe before the holiday season, about your fabulous ebook on ideas of ways to give to our loved ones that are sort of outside of the normal go to the store and spend a lot of money.
Yes. In fact, today I was just working again because I want to do another little campaign around that. I think it's, you know, that is one of the things, again, you know, and it definitely falls right under the Simply Celebrate, which is, you know, how we can spend more but give less. that's definitely, wait, spend, talk about.
Spend less
wait.
And give more. Yeah, we knew what you meant.
Thank you. Conditioning got me on that one,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's great. And just that, you know, in practice, so often what we're learning to do, as you say, is we're putting our attention where we want it to be. So we have whatever sort of karmic things we have in place. It sounds like for you those are some depression and anxiety, and not wanting to live your life from that place. So learning to turn it towards connection, color, vitality, that is life.
Exactly.
That's what's
yes.
there when we turn our attention to it. And then out of that, creating a business to support other people in doing the same thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, and again, I just have to keep stressing, you know, it's really my gratitude to this practice because before I found the practice, I felt like I didn't have any tools. Yeah. And then, of course, now, as we all know, anyone who is part of this Sangha, you know, I mean, there's just, you know, so many tools at any given moment, and I just feel so grateful, and I feel like I want to be able to somehow give that back.
Yeah, it's so true. It's the old gratitude wants to give. I mean, when I look around and practice, there's each person, each one of us doing our individual practice, and then there's the way that the gratitude for each of us manifests. You know, so there's the service work that the organization does in Africa, or there's, you know, offering retreats or workshops. There's Simply Celebrate. There's so many folks in the Sangha that we've had on the show who are doing their own version of how does gratitude want to give show up in my life? What am I offering that's come out of my own practice?
Yes.
So, your new project.
So, my new project springs again from gratitude, right? It's I have really gotten so much out of the recording and listening practice. And it's really been a tool. I mean, I know for so many people how much it works in their lives. And in my own experience, it's just, again, it's that moment-to-moment ability. It changes things 180 degrees in a moment for me.
Yeah, it takes it to a new level, doesn't it? Because, you know, you can come on retreat and you're around Sangha and you remember, that's right, oh, that's right, there's nothing wrong with me. It's all okay, just right now. And then we go back, trudge back into our lives and... But the recording and listening brings us kind of the possibility that we have on retreat, brings it to us on a moment-by-moment basis. It's always there available to us, always to remember who we really are and what we really want for our lives.
So, yes. So, again, what happened for me is after I've seen what a great impact this has had in my life, I really wanted to find a way to bring it out into, the world in a whole different way or in a different manner than we're doing in our practice. Or actually, I don't even know if it's a whole different way, but maybe just bring it out more. just find a way. And so I have been working on an ebook that started, I just started jotting down like all of the wonderful ideas that come from retreats and open air, and I just started realizing there are just, you know, dozens and dozens of ways that people use this practice. Uh-huh. And so I just started by doing that, by jotting down all these different ideas, and then I started, like, keeping lists of, like, where does the resistance come in, and how do we overcome that, and how do we maintain the practice when we've been doing it for a while. I just sort of was taking all these notes and compiling it into an ebook that I want to use along with a coaching program.
Oh, wow.
And so the reason that I'm so excited to talk to the Sangha about it is that I realized that it's like I'm just one person, right, with just my own little experience. And it would be great if I could interview people about their own experiences of what really works for them, where the resistance comes up, what they love best about it, recordings that really work, that sort of thing.
So from their own practice, their own kind of day-to-day life applying practice, what have they found helpful? What have they come up against as they apply the tools of practice? What have they found useful to move through the resistance?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because I've realized, I've already just interviewed a couple of people, and it's been amazing. Like, it's so exciting, you know, for me, and I project the other person to, like, talk and, like, wow, you know, there's all these things that I didn't see. Like, wow, you're doing that. That's so cool. And to be able to share this.
It's so fun. It's, again, it's like being on retreat, isn't it? Reading that ebook and sharing, because that's what happens on retreat. We listen to each other and realize, oh, I completely resonate with that. I never would have put it that way. I maybe wouldn't have thought of working with it that way. But, boy, that's helpful to hear. And it sounds like this ebook will have that same opportunity for people to read what are other people finding in their practice and seeing how that could apply for me.
Well, I sure hope so. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would love.
And so you're actually putting a call out to anyone who would be willing to be interviewed for the process.
I am, yes. And I'll just be using first names so that, you know, as a way to have gotten some guidance on how to sort of keep the privileged environment around that. Or if people don't even want me to use their first name, I can make up a name or, you know, we can work that piece out.
Yeah.
But I would really love the opportunity to talk to people about their experiences with it.
Great. And so how would that look? Would they email or how does that?
Yeah, if people are comfortable with that, they could just email me at Sherry, Sherry, at simplycelebrate.net.
Okay. So Sherry, that's important.
Yes.
simplycelebrate.net, that's also important.
And that's also important, right. And just, you know, and if, even if people aren't really sure, like, well, I'm not quite sure, if they would just want to send an email and I could tell them a little bit more.
Yeah, kind of what the process would entail and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'd be so grateful because, I feel like everybody has this whole wealth of knowledge and it would be really wonderful to be able to find a way to compile it and share it.
Yeah, well, and I love it because it's a way to participate, isn't it? Because we're all going to benefit from the book in the same way that we all benefit from listening to the archives of the radio show. And if no one ever called in, there would be no archives of the radio show.
Yeah.
You know, kind of being willing to throw our hat in the ring for, hey, I'll say my experience. Because, of course, one of the ways that conditioning holds each of us hostage is to hold us back there with the story about, well, I'm the only one. You know,
yeah.
Other people don't go through this. This doesn't happen for other people. And so to be willing to put my experience out there on the line and find out, A, for myself, wow, other people really do have all of that go on. And B, what an assistance it is for other people to hear that and have that same experience for themselves. I'm not the only one.
Jen, that is so true. And it works on both sides. You know, it works on like, wow, you know, am I the only one who has all this resistance? You know, eek, I don't really want to talk about that.
Yep.
Or on the other side, which is like, well, you know, I don't know anything new. And I think, you know, I think we all have so much to offer. And I think that conditioning wants to keep us from even, you know, knowing that.
You know, that's a really fun part of it. I mean, as you said that, I thought, gosh, it would be interesting to go through the interview process and to realize, well, there are a lot of things I do to support myself in practice every day that probably kind of go on under the radar screen in terms of just, oh, I just do them. I mean, I don't even really realize. I don't, bring appreciation and celebration to, there are a ton of things I do to support myself in practice every day, and maybe other people would benefit from hearing what those are.
I'm so glad you said that, because just the few that I've done so far, they really have felt like a celebration in that way, of this excitement and this energy around, like, wow, you know, this is pretty amazing what I'm doing, and oh, you know.
Yeah, it's really fun. So it's kind of one of the, back to those win-win-win for everyone.
Yes, 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 yes.
So Sherry at simplycelebrate.net, S-H-E-R-R-Y.
Thank you. Yes, and I'm so excited. You know, anybody that would like to, I would just love to talk to them.
Yeah, I can't wait to read it when it comes out.
Well, good. Well, I'm having lots of fun working on it, and it's certainly really enhancing my own practice. So.
I like that. And that's really the biggest reason to do it, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I keep saying that to myself, you know, even if I'm the only one to ever read it.
That's right. That's plenty. That is plenty. Yep. Yeah. Well, thanks for being with us tonight, Sherry.
Oh, it was great talking to you. Thanks a lot.
Okay, take good care.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you.
Okay.
Great show.
Great. Thank you so much, Jen.
All right, good night.
Okay, good night. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good, you?
Great. Great. I feel really lucky to be supported by practice right now.
I know, and I loved what I loved all of that conversation, but that last piece, Sherry is doing this project, and I feel quite confident that it's going to be hugely helpful to lots and lots and lots of people. But the main beneficiary of all of that is Sherry herself. Because however many hours she spends a day working on this project is that many hours where she is spent just right up there doing practice full time. You know, it's like facilitating a workshop or that sort of thing where you're just right in it. If each one of us has something like that we're doing, then we are that much more immersed in practice, and we win, and the whole world wins.
Yes.
So I will tell you that I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to keep talking about it because, you know, I am a terrier with bone when I get on a subject, as we well know. But Sangha Market, I still think, is one of the best things ever possible for us as a Sangha. And I know we've turned our attention away from it, but we're revving up now and going to put a lot of energy into getting that going. And one of the visions for that we had when we came up with it as an idea for the Sangha is exactly what we were just talking about, what Sherry and Jen were just talking about. And that is that, so you want to do something with Sangha Market. And maybe there's something that you're passionate about doing, but you don't really get time to do it because it's just for you and it's kind of frivolous. And besides, conditioning is dead set on getting you to stop because it's helping you. but you can do whatever this is that you're passionate about. You can offer it on Sangha Market. You can make, whatever the percentage is, 20% has to go to Living Compassion. But the other 80% can go to you if that's of interest. It supports you in doing practice. It supports Sangha in general because Sangha Market, being involved in that kind of community, is like working on the kind of project that Sherry was talking about. And you're supporting yourself financially. You're supporting the practice financially. It is one of those win-win-win-win-wins. And not everybody is going to write a book or create the kind of thing that Sherry is talking about, but everybody has something. Everybody has something that they can focus on from that deepening my practice, offering something to the larger community, and benefiting all. We all have that. We're strongly discouraged from pursuing it by the voices in the head, but that doesn't mean we don't have it. And once we open up to that kind of possibility and creativity, of course, life just starts inundating us with, well, and you could do this, and you could do this, and you could do this. And suddenly life turns from that, oh my gosh, when am I going to have time to practice? I've got so much stuff that I can't, I get up in the morning and I get to do all of these things that light me up. They take care of me. They deepen my practice. They help the larger community. They help the world. Life is good.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. That's very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. In fact, I got up this morning thinking I want to write a blog on this very subject. It's another one of those where God knows people have heard me talk about this plenty, but coming out of the monastery where I trained, I knew if I did not set myself up to be focused on practice all the time, I would just wander off somewhere. You know, I'd be fine for a little while, and then slowly the voices would just take over, and I would be pulled farther and farther away from practice until I was once again in a miserable, suffering place. And so that I did that, blessedly. Whatever combination of things, that is exactly how I set up my life, and it has made all the difference. And, of course, you know, the bridge walk was such a perfect example of our, people could say, perhaps obsessive approach to participation. But because of exactly what we're talking about, the more things in our life are a part of practice, the more we are living in we're living where we want to live. We're letting life live us. We are living from the heart. There's fewer and fewer things that take us away from the life that we want for ourselves. And everybody can do it. Everybody. It's not those lucky people like Sherry who are really creative and can come up with the kind of project she has and that's what she can do for a living and devote herself. We can all do it.
Great. Great. I'm feeling re-inspired already.
Good. Good.
Good. Great. And I have some announcements here.
Right.
This Saturday, October 29th, is Guidance Day for monthly donors with appointments by phone throughout the day.
Hmm.
And November 1st, I think that's next Tuesday, is the first day of the It's Time to Feel Good email class with you, Sherry.
That is true. I'm getting very excited.
I am too. I'm really looking forward to that I was going to say onslaught of support that comes in through my inbox. It's great. It's like opening a faucet, and there it is.
The tsunami of active support.
Yes. And then on Saturday, November 5th, Awareness. It's Not What You Think. A workshop with you, Sherry, in San Diego at Marina Village. And then December 27th through January 1st, that's a Tuesday through Sunday, A Conscious, Compassionate New Year. That's a New Year's retreat with you, Sherry, and the monks at Santa Sabina Center in San Rafael, California. And that's in the hills in beautiful Marin County. It includes daily workshops and meditation, scenic walks, individual guidance with you, Sherry, yoga, and delicious vegetarian food.
Yes, and I saw some stats on that retreat today, and I will tell you that if a person is out there thinking about signing up, now would be the moment because it's almost completely full.
Wow.
Very, very thrilling.
Wow, that is very thrilling. Very thrilling. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Let's get started.
Hey.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Anna from Yorkshire in England.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Hi. You can hear me okay?
Yes, we can. How are you?
Oh, that's super. Well, I'm okay. I am under the weather. I've got a sore throat and a bit of a chest, so apologies if I'm not so clear.
No, you sound great.
Oh, good.
You don't sound like it at all.
Well, the last time I was going to call you, I got a sore throat as well, and I had a temperature and everything, so I didn't. This time, I'm like thinking, well, I'm going to call whatever.
Yeah, is this those two? You're not suspecting that those two are related, are you?
No, oh, not at all. And no, I do think I would talk about it though. Because I sort of generally know when I'm going to call you. So we're on half term at the moment, so it's really good for me to call. And the last time it was towards the end of the summer holidays. So it's important that I do it when I can.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd ring in and sort of let you know where I'm at and everything. Towards the end of the summer, I had the opportunity of having a stall where I could sell my pictures, and I worked really, really hard. And I was really surprised. I sold 8 pictures.
Wow.
And I thought that was great. And as you know, I've been having money worries. And so I was thinking, okay, I'm going to keep this up. And it's really funny because one of the aims was to put some pictures on Sanga Market. Okay. So I worked really hard, and I sort of managed to figure out sort of what I was doing as regards sort of size of picture and framing and all of that sort of thing. And then the day after the stall, that was when I got ill towards the end of the summer holidays. And so it was as if I'd just sort of been working really hard up until that point, and then I just sort of gave up, and it took me a really long time to recover. I was ill for about 3 weeks. And then what happened in September is I started work. It's a temporary job, so that's good. But it's 5 days a week. And when I'm coming back from work, I'm really tired and I'm not getting a lot of time. So there are two things in my life apart from work, and they are practice and trying to get some more pictures done. So when I'm coming home, I'm tired. And then at the weekend, I'm sort of doing household things, and then I'm tired. So there's been 7 weeks of term, and so now we're on half term. And on Saturday, I got ill. So I've been having a good think, and I've been thinking, well, it seems that I'm always tired, and then when there's a holiday break, I get ill. So I was thinking, I think what's happening is that I'm worrying too much, I'm paying attention to all the voices far too much every day, and that's where all my energy's going. So I've been relaxing for the last few days and looking after myself, and I've been reading your books, and I've been listening to, aside from the recording and listening, what I've been finding really helpful is the Living Beyond Karma email class from about 3 years ago, those recordings, which I've always listened to ever since then, because they're really, really, really helpful. And so I've brought those back, sort of back to the forefront of my iPod, and I've been doing those. And also the other thing that I found helpful is, the CDs, Unconditional Self-Acceptance, with the picture of the goldfish on the front. There's a few guided visualizations towards the back of that, and there's one in particular, and I think it's where you I think it might be called looking at your emotions, something like that, and it's a guided imagery where you think about an emotion that you have a difficulty with, and then your mentor or sort of helps you to look at that. And it's quite a long one. It lasts quite a long time. And I've done that quite a few times since Saturday, and it's been really good. So what I'm hoping is that I feel like when other people have rung up before and you've said you need to go on the offensive.
Yes.
That's what I need to do, because my practice is really important and I want to have time for that. And also, making my pictures and being able to earn an income from that is really important. So I'm on the offensive.
Yes. It is so important, isn't it? Because it's that same slide. I been watching that so much lately. People, it's like people approach life, not life with the capital L, but just one's life, as we approach an automobile and, would we say petrol?
Yes, petrol.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we go into the pump, we fill it up, and then we drive it until it runs out, and then we fill it up again, you know, and so for a lot of people, it's, you know, getting pretty down to empty before it's time to fill it up again.
Yeah.
And that approach to practice is just it's an encouragement to suffer.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it just occurred to me, I think with my car, I'm going to always keep it half full from now on. When it gets to half, I'm going to fill it up again. In that, just as a reminder that I need to be on the offensive like that, because anytime I'm not actively present, pursuing being here, conditioning is working to suck the life force out of me.
Yeah, so I could keep my car half full.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, isn't it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
and as you say, to just fill your life with the things that support you, so that the conversation, the only conversation in your head, mine too, but we're talking about you, in your head is something that supports and nurtures you.
Yeah.
That's what you're engaged in all the time. People will say to me, are you saying listen to these recordings all the time?
Yeah.
And my response, of course, is yes. Because
what
else are you going to be listening to?
Yeah, and then I'm just going to get ill, and then I still don't have any time to to do those things that I want to do.
Yeah, so if you are, first of all, if you're supporting your system in that way, you're going to be less tired.
Yeah.
And it's true, you're going to have less need to collapse into sickness because your body is rested, it's relaxed. And then when you're doing whatever it is that you're doing, you know, you're doing your household chores, okay, we have to do those, and you're listening to something that's uplifting, so you're dancing around and it's fun and it's building energy instead of taking it, and then you're working on your art. And I don't know what that's like for you. If you can be listening to reassurances and encouragements from the mentor and that sort of thing while you're doing art, or if you really need to concentrate.
Oh, it's great. It puts you in a completely different place. Well, it puts you in the light room.
Yes. So painting from the light room.
And that's what the paintings are about.
Uh-huh. So it's perfect. Oh, that's good. I'm so glad to hear that.
Because I've been doing a percentage of what I've been selling for the Africa Vulnerable Children. I haven't sent that in yet, so I'm just letting you all know that, because I haven't had a chance to look to see how much it is or anything. I've not looked at anything like that. So I'm going to do that and send you that as well.
So and that's just full circle, isn't it? So you're doing something that you love.
Yeah.
It makes its way to somebody else. They support you. The happiness is there. You share that with the folks in Zambia. I mean, it's just good.
I've really enjoyed, because it was the Sank game that inspired me to do it. And then I decided, and I did email this in, I decided I was just always going to do it forever, that there'll always be a percentage will go towards Africa Vulnerable Children of anything that I sell. And it does make you feel different about what you're doing. It makes it less personal. It makes it more about, you know, like when you talk about life just living through you, it makes it more about that.
Yes.
And so you'd get less attached to, this stroke of the brush isn't going right, because you know, and then you stop altogether. So it all flows more quickly, and more pictures have been coming out of me.
Yeah, and obviously ones that people appreciate. So you know what you're putting into it is apparent.
Yeah, that is true, and that is why I can see that it's a potential source of income. Doing something that I absolutely love, and it's been great for me because I absolutely thought I could never ever do that. It was like, nope.
No,
somebody like me can't ever do that. So that has been really nice.
Yeah. Number of people in this world who are stopped from doing what they absolutely could do, would love to do, that would benefit all of us simply because they're listening to those voices say, no, you can't do that. It's so sad.
Yeah. Well, it was joining in the Sangha game and other things all started just working. So all that I've got to do now is get on top of the tiredness. And I sort of laid out my plans for that.
Yep.
And I'm going to do the next email class as well. So I'll be the third. That'll be the third time around. Or I've done all of them. So I think it's the third time, isn't
it? You're in the group three.
Yeah, right. Good. Yes,
great.
So that will be great for me as well.
Again, in terms of that circle, it's like, you know, you're generating the energy and conditioning is sucking it away. And with what we're talking about, what you're describing for yourself, you're generating that energy, you give it to life, life gives it back, you give it to life, life gives it back. And instead of dissipating, it's just growing and growing and growing and growing. Pretty soon you just got a permanent smile on your face and nothing to be done about it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, get some rest, huh?
I know. It's okay. I don't have to go to work. I don't have to do anything tomorrow. So it's not a problem at all. And it's absolutely lovely to be in touch.
Yeah. It's great to hear from you. It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you to you and thank you to Michael. And I'll talk next time.
All right. Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, how are you?
Great. And yourself?
Well, I'm great, too. I was initially calling, and I guess I'll stick with this for now, because I was calling to report back in on the last conversation we had, and probably the last 10 conversations we've had have been around relationships and sexuality and all of that. And so I was just calling to follow up and report back.
Good.
So let me just say a quick but. But all this other stuff is so interesting, too. All this stuff about Sangha Market and doing, you know, Sherry's project and everything. But anyway, so I guess I'll stick with my original calling to check back in.
And here's your assignment.
Okay.
Find a way that they all go together.
Oh, I bet we will in this conversation.
Yes,
I bet
exactly.
You turned back to us.
Because the process is what we're going for, and you know that's going to be the same no matter what the content is.
Yeah, very good point. That is exactly right.
All right.
Okay, so here's what I went on a TINW a couple of months ago, the September one. And
for those uninitiated, there's nothing wrong with your retreat.
Yes, and I noticed that some of my fellow retreatants have been calling in lately, so that's just been really fun to hear. It was a really remarkable time, as all of them are, but just really remarkable. And what I saw was that the karma, you know, your encouragement to me over the last few conversations have been to see the karma behind it all, you know, what is really perpetuating all this longing and, you know, all of this stuff. And so I saw through that process, through process mapping and through really getting clear on what the different subpersonalities are saying, has been this interplay, interchange that was just really not available to me. And once I saw it, it was like it just burst. The whole thing just sort of burst. You know, the image I can think to say is all of the energy went out of it, you know?
And so it lost its power over you? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Things occurred to me that had never occurred to me before that I just literally was just not able to see for all kinds of reasons, you know? And since that bursting of the story, and, you know, it kind of happened in stages since coming home. You know, it didn't all just happen like magic on this retreat, but it sure was a big step of it. And what I've been noticing ever since is how ego has been trying to pick up these shreds of story and trying to put them together. But it's just laughable. You know, it's like I see ego doing that. And it's like, well, sorry, you're just going to have to go on without me. I just don't have the energy for this story anymore. You know, it's like, but what about this? And what about this? And, you know, just trying to make it all, weave it all together again. And it just isn't working, you know?
Uh-huh. Again, the image of the little guy in Oz, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once the curtain has been pulled back and you see how it all works. Just can't believe it in quite the same way.
Well, and you know what's coming up right now is the other, here's how it maybe ties in with what tonight's conversation has been about, is the next story that it's been picking up is and trying to get, you know, get my attention with is not all about, oh, relationship and oh, all of this. And it's more about what am I doing with my life? You know, and the tone of the story is exactly the same. And I think that's what I'm catching on to. It's like
when you have lived long enough to watch trends in advertising.
Uh-huh.
And so advertisers will pick up a theme. And suddenly everybody is using that theme. There's a phrase, there's a perspective, there's a tone of voice. And everybody's using it. And then the next thing comes along. And so it's like conditioning. Karmic conditioning knows what you have fallen for in the past.
Yeah.
So that kind of inflection and that tone of voice, she really goes for that. So let's plug in this content. Same tone of voice, same inflection, same everything. She'll go for it.
Yep. You know, when I was hearing Jen and Sherry talk, I was hearing conditioning saying, I wish I could do something like that. That is so creative. And the same, okay, so you heard that tone of voice. Before it was saying, I wish I had a relationship like that. That is so wonderful. You know, it's like, it's the same stuff. So what I was saying is I know, like, from, and I'll tell you, on the retreat, Joe Kobeck's phrase about we don't ever let anything go, we wear it out.
Right.
So, you know, after having just worn this karma out, this content, I should say, out about relationships, I mean, I really feel like that piece anyway has just really gotten worn out. And so I'm sort of on to this. I really don't even want my attention there anymore. And so it was so helpful. And of course, this conversation is helpful too, is that I don't really want my attention on that tone of voice anymore. So the answer as that question evolved, I mean, just in this last, you know, this radio program of that conversation, well, what could I do? What's my Sangha market contribution? What's da-da-da-da, you know, what am I doing with my life? I was just, me as a mentor or something, was just there to say, well, you know what, right now, I'm listening to the radio program. That's what I'm doing with my life.
Right.
And it just it was just this unwillingness to go there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, again, this is not going to be a surprise to you, but in what you practice is what you have. The whole deal with that is figure out the life you want. See what that is like, what that feels like, and then have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's just way too simple for karmic conditioning. But as soon as a person begins to catch on that this is possible, it's harder for the voices to poo-poo it. So I know that what I want is peace. That's what I want. Because when I am at peace, I'm happy, I'm fulfilled, I'm satisfied, I'm grateful. I'm living in gusto. And so what I turn my attention to constantly is I choose peace.
Mm-hmm.
I choose peace. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I choose peace. Because if I had all the money in the world, I would want peace. if I were wildly successful, I would want peace. If I had the relationship of my dreams, I would want peace.
Yeah. Yeah, that is just it. And you know what? What mine is I want love and possibility. And that's what I want to turn my attention to. It's not, you know, is no matter where I am or what is happening, that's what I want my life experience to be.
In fact, you can choose that.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of the experiences that exist for a human being, that's your choice. And when you choose that, you have that.
All
of the love that exists right here, right now, in each and every moment. And when you choose that, that's what you have. Now, as you have perhaps noticed, the voices of conditioning would say, yes, but I want it to come in a package that looks like that.
I have noticed that, yes.
And then we're meant to feel like we're missing something. But we've all lived long enough to know that we can have it arrive in the form that we want, and it doesn't make us happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And which gets us back to your point that I, for one, am glad you keep saying it, so don't ever stop, about when you left the monastery, surrounding yourself with these responsibilities or whatever, you know, these practice opportunities all the time, because the way that we choose that, the way that I choose love and possibility in each moment is supported by all of these tangible things that I bring into my life that will help keep my attention on that.
Yes, precisely. And when you, you know, it's kind of what Anna was talking about and what Sherry was talking about. You know, when you devote your life to something that has the dual, and it's one, but the dual purpose of assisting you in staying where you want to be in love and possibility, and is an offering of love and possibility for everyone and everything else. When your attention is focused on that, you're a happy human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what you will produce, what life will guide you to producing, because it will produce something. You know, even if you were just to sit in meditation for 6 or 8 hours out of the day, that would produce something. Okay, people would not see that as productive, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what life would would lead you to producing would contain all of that love and possibility, and it would also produce for you not only the process, but also the content of satisfaction, of love, of possibility.
Well, because it seems like what you're pointing at or what you're saying is that if my attention and my life is devoted to love and possibility, it's metaphysically impossible for my life to produce anything else then.
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
Perfectly and beautifully stated.
Yeah, isn't
because that? One process doesn't lead to another.
Yeah.
And so we usually see that on the negative side. So I can't simultaneously mope around because I don't have as much money as I want and have money.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the what we would call the positive side, it's the same thing. I can't focus all of my attention and awareness on satisfaction and not be satisfied.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Oh, that's a good system.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks for looking at that brilliant system with me today.
You're very welcome anytime.
Oh, well, y'all take good care.
All right. Thanks, Rebecca. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software, for Macs and iPhones and iPads, and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, once you swam in a river of joy.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sherry. I'm calling because I have some questions from your book, The Fear Book.
The Fear Book. All right.
Yes. And just a few quick questions is that just things that I really don't understand, but I would like to understand.
Mm-hmm. Let me just stop you right here and say how grateful I am that that's the approach that you have taken with it. Instead of, you know, conditioning wants us to, I, you don't understand that, so just forget it. Just put the book down and go on. But to pick up the phone, call in and ask about it, have a conversation about it, I'll tell you this, you have nothing to fear in life.
And this isn't the first time I've tried to call in either.
All right. Well, congratulations. You're on your way. What's up?
Okay, so in part of the book, you have this scenario where the three little scenarios about the prowler in the house and then being on a ski slope and then being on a date. And you say, what I surmise is that you kind of say they're all the kind of the same sensations, except one gets labeled as fear.
Yes. So
okay.
What I'm really pointing at is that the body doesn't know the difference. If you were hooked up to a machine that was registering what was going on in your body, the information the machine would get would be the same thing. It wouldn't know that one's a positive and one's a negative.
Uh-huh. My question is that when I'm going to get in a panic and this doom descends and I'm in that hell state of doom and panic, I'm like, so my question is, why does this matter? Because, like, I read that you have the three scenarios, and like you say, the body doesn't know the difference. But, I mean, when I'm in panic and doom, it's like a hell state. So
well, may
there
I,
is a big difference.
May I? Panic and doom are a conversation in your head. It's true that they're connected to sensations in your body. But those sensations in your body, if they weren't hooked to a story about what they mean, would actually not be a problem. So, for instance, getting close to a panic attack, okay? My heart is just racing. And I'm shaking all over, and I'm starting to sweat, and my palms are clammy, and all of this sort of thing. If I had all my life wanted to jump out of an airplane, and there I am, I might be having all of those sensations in my body, but it doesn't mean I'm miserable. But if I were getting ready to jump out of an airplane and I didn't want to jump out of the airplane and I felt like that, it would be a hell state. I would perhaps manage to die because I would be so terrified. See what I'm saying?
I think I see, but I'm not sure. Like, it's like one thing to note that the sensations of excitement or fear could be the same, and the body doesn't know the difference except for the story. But how does that apply to me if I'm, I can really get in, like you say, the panic and doom? I don't think I understand what you mean that those are just conversations.
Okay, so I can't remember, actually. I should read that book. But did I talk about having panic attacks in that book?
You talked about having food poisoning in a panic.
Okay, all right. So I had like three panic attacks, okay? And the first one was I think, typical experience. If the panic attack weren't bad enough, the fear of the panic attack would push you right over the edge, right? And so the first time it happened, I think I had a pretty normal response to it, which is, oh God, I'm going to die. this is hideous. I want this to stop. I don't ever want to experience this again. The second time it happened, I decided that I would lie down on the floor, and because I knew it didn't have anything to do with anything. I watched what happened in my mind the first time around. The second time, I decided to just lie down on the floor and relax all my muscles and watch what happened to the sensations in my body. It was a completely different experience. Now, it wasn't physically comfortable. I'm not saying it was pleasant by any stretch of the imagination, but divorced from the story of, oh God, something hideous is going to happen, it was just a series of sensations in the body that were more intense than any sensations I had ever experienced. So the difficulty is with what the mind is saying it means, not with what's actually physically happening to you.
I guess they seem one in this at the
They
risk.
Do. Oh, I hear you. I hear you. They do seem one in the same. And that's of course why we practice awareness. Because what we're doing is learning to be, so I'll give you another example. I used to think that when I got angry, I would be, that this was what happened. I'm going along, I'm perfectly fine, I'm in a rage. And the first person who tried to talk me out of that belief, I thought was crazy. You know, you don't understand. You don't know what happens to me. After I'd been doing awareness practice for a while, I could see that there was a huge gap between I'm just going along and I'm in a rage. It happened really quickly, and I wasn't attentive to it, but that didn't mean that that space wasn't there. And that's what I'm encouraging you to consider, that when you're actually paying attention in that split second way, you begin to realize that the conversation, the labels, the meaning attached to the labels are very different from the feelings. They've been linked by habit and belief, but they're not the same.
So when I get knocked back to that kind of little kid in a total panic, and I feel the sensations that feel like doom, you're saying that they're not the sensations that feel like doom, and the story of doom is not the same?
That's correct. That's one piece of it. Okay, they're not the same, and here's the. I mean, you know that intellectually because you have that experience over and over again, but nothing happens except that experience. In other words, you don't die. Nothing awful happens except you have that experience of the feeling that you called doom.
Well, it's that little... This in a split second when a boss or authority figure, it's like that split second, like feels just like a little kid scared to death who's just like, I'm bad, I'm in trouble, and it's the end of the world.
Yes.
And it just all hits me like a ton of bricks, but you're saying that they're not the same.
Well, I'm saying a couple of things. One, yes, you, Elizabeth, cease to be there. And who is left, who's abandoned there, is a small child. No question about that. Who feels awful, who's terrified and overwhelmed and feels awful. Okay, no question about that. The thing is, even though this has happened in your life over and over and over again, nothing real happens to that child or to you. The bad feelings pass and life goes on until the next time it happens. So the bad thing that happens is that situation in which there's a trigger, there's a reaction, there's an identification with that small child, there's an abandonment by any kind of grown-up who could be there and have a different perspective, then that time passes, those feelings dissipate, and then you're you again, whatever that is, until it happens again. So if you were to walk into you walk into a dark room, somebody screams, adrenaline races through your body, the lights come on, and you realize there's nothing frightening there. You were scared. But that's all that happened. What's going on in the way you describe it is that you keep walking into that room, that dark room, there's the scream, you're terrified, the lights come on. But every time you walk into that dark room, you believe just as sincerely as the first time that this is terrifying, that you're in danger. So the reason that I'm projecting, okay? But the reason that this continues to happen is that the person who could be there, a grown-up, a mentor, somebody older and wiser, bails out on that little kid and leaves the little kid there to experience all those little kid feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So if, say, I were there, okay, you and I are there together, and somebody comes in and says, gosh darn it, Elizabeth, blah, blah, and you leave the room, even though we don't see you leave the room, and or we could just say you turn into a four-year-old who's sitting there. And I turn around to that person and say, hey, that's no way to talk to somebody. Let's have a little respect around here. That little kid, if we played that scene out over and over and over, that little kid would start looking to me to protect her. You see that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the door opens, the big person is going to come in, she looks at me to take care of her. She's no longer looking at the big scary boss person. Okay, she's looking to me because she knows I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to be there. I'm going to stick up for her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the role you're going to learn to play.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and when I realize that, you know, oh, I need to disidentify, I'm panicked, and I need to disidentify and get into my empowered adult and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, It takes like 12 hours
yes.
of panic.
Yes. Well, here's the deal. This is the next phase of it for you, okay? What you want to do is be in your empowered adult. That little kid shouldn't be at work. What's happening is she is there. Somebody comes in, raises an eyebrow or a voice or whatever, and then you, and all of this is in quotes because God knows who you are at this point, okay? You say, oh, I need to become my empowered adult. But it's too late. The damage has been done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you, what you'll learn to do with the practice that you're doing, what you'll learn to do is have that grown-up come to work, knowing you check in regularly. Who's here? Am I a grown-up? Is this a grown-up here at work? Where's that little kid? Little kid, where are you? How are you doing? Okay, you sit over there. You sit over there, color, okay? I'm right here. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. And that relationship grows such that she is now turning to you as the only authority in her life. The only opinion she cares about is yours. You, as that grown-up, will interact with other grown-ups. And that's the thing that will save her from that panic and doom feeling.
Mm. Right, because
yeah.
The adult me is the adult is more naturally defended, not in a bad way, like
right.
We always think of defended as a bad thing, but it's a good thing.
Yeah, she's powerful. She's an equal.
Mm.
You know, and from a grown-up place, you know, the boss comes in, rah, 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 rah. I mean, as a grown-up, we can even get, whoa, having a bad day there. Or, you know, yeah, that really would be frustrating. Or, I know you're having a hard time, but talking to me like that is not working. You know, whatever is appropriate to the situation, grown-up to grown-up, that can be handled.
Cool.
Yeah, and not, I mean, it takes practice, right? So not to be discouraged, but once you know what the process is, then you can practice it. And the big secret key to this whole thing is growing a relationship with that little child so that she's there with you. And she's attending to you, and you're attending to her. You're checking on her, how you doing, how you feeling, what's going on, and you know, okay, I've got to go to work now, and so here's you stay here and do this and this and this, and I'll be home in a little while and like that, and she'll be fine. She wants to do that. She doesn't want to go to work and get yelled at.
So, can I ask just really quick, have you ever been in a situation where you suddenly were aware, like, oh, I'm with the little kid is here, I'm identified with the little kid, and it's not appropriate, and I need to get identified with my adult?
Yes, and here's what I would offer you to try, and then you have to call back again so we can continue this, okay?
Okay.
But here's what I would offer. When you're that way, start talking to the little kid.
Okay.
Just, you know, it's okay. I'm here. I'm with you. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. I'm going to take care of you. It's all right. We're in this together. I got you. Hold my hand. And I think that conversation will disidentify you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Kind of exciting now to see it happen the next time, isn't it? So you can practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I feel so privileged to be
Me
part
too.
Of this radio show. Yes.
It's a great
people
thing.
Are, yes, people are so courageous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess our whole practice is that, isn't it? I was going to say this whole show has just been one courage story after the next. But
yes.
Yeah. It
yes.
is inspiring. Yeah.
Yeah, people are so willing and courageous and open to the guidance and the skill that you bring. It's such a winning combination.
Lucky.
Lucky, lucky, lucky. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
Good night.
Bye.